Welcome to the Confident Speaker Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly D. Parker, speaker, consultant, and self-proclaimed introvert who stumbled upon the cheat code to captivate audiences and command any room. Each week on this show, I'll share tips and tools to inspire you to communicate with power, charisma, and awaken your most confident self. Let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by my Fierce and Fearless Speaking Academy. This is my high-level coaching intensive that teaches entrepreneurs and professionals how to conquer their fear of public speaking. You will learn how to present with confidence, captivate audiences, and command any room. If you're ready to learn the nuts and bolts of delivering an unforgettable keynote, workshop, or even virtual talk, apply today at kellydparker.com/coaching. Hey, this is episode 35 of the Confident Speaker Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. Today we're talking all about becoming a persuasive communicator. And joining me is my special guest, public speaking coach, Kit Pang. And Kit is so much fun to talk to and so bright and intelligent. So we just had a ball. So let me tell you a little bit about Kit. Kit is the founder of Boston Speaks, and he's a Harvard Business School public speaking coach. He helps individuals become exceptional speakers who deliver compelling presentations and speeches. His clients come from diverse industries, including Fortune 500 CEOs, TEDx speakers, NFL players, and three-star Michelin chefs. Not only that, Kit has worked with rising leaders and executives from companies like Dell, Delta, Remax, and more. We talked about the power of public speaking, how to be an effective communicator, and also the power of being persuasive in our communication. So hope that you're able to take away a few helpful nuggets on your journey. And without further ado, here's my chat with Kit Pang. Kit, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on. I'm super excited.
Thank you for being here. Welcome to the Confident Speaker Podcast. It's such a joy to get a chance to chat with you. As I was just telling you a moment ago, I've been following you around LinkedIn for some time and just super impressed with you and all the value that you bring in the area of communication and public speaking. So this is certainly my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. You know, when it comes to speaking, I think it's one of our biggest assets, you know, online and in person, that we can learn how to hone and get better at.
So agree. Man, you are the kind of person I could sit up and talk with you about this stuff all day, but we'll truncate it because you got other things to do. You got a life to live.
Get right to the point.
Right. So for those that might not know you, let us know who you are and what you do.
Yeah, my name is Kit. I'm the founder of Boston Speaks. So if you have speaking anxiety, or maybe you want to go from boring to engaging, just like Kelly, I'm here to help you step it up as a speaker, but go to Kelly first, not me.
Listen, go where you're going to get the help. Listen, go to Kit, come to me, come to whoever. It really, hey, we are all in this together, for real. So let me know, how did you get started in this work?
I'm not sure. Kelly, have you ever felt like you got into the zone of public speaking? I was in college. I entered a public speaking competition. Like, I walked into the diner and there was a poster that said $3,000 for the winner. I was a broke college student. And so I'm like, why the heck no? I didn't have a job lined up. So I went for that public speaking competition. And that's when I like practiced my butt off. And I practiced more than anything else. And when I got on stage, that's when I felt like I got into the zone of public speaking. And I knew I wanted to do more public speaking, but also help others who did not feel as confident or get that feeling yet. Get that feeling, first of all. But I think it's, now, I've never been bungee jumping, but I feel like that public speaking experience needs to be experienced in life, no matter if you're in an organization or you're giving like keynotes to a bunch of people.
Absolutely. So for you and your path, where did you find that confidence?
I'm one of those people that there's a saying that says the master has failed more times than the beginner has even tried. I think that in college, when I was growing up, I was not confident in raising my hands and speaking up. Like, class after class, I would think, oh, why didn't I raise my hands? Why didn't I speak up? And I've noticed, even though I wanted to speak up. Like I was not even paying attention in the moment because I was stuck in my head. I think it was that passion of me wanting to become a leader, like wanting to start my own business one day, wanting to become the best version of myself that drove me to say, I need to take more risk. You know, it wasn't like one day, I think it was over time because I had a bigger purpose of like, oh yeah, I want to do something bigger. So therefore, even though I'm scared, I have to push past it if I want to achieve more.
Oh, that's good. That is awesome. So you said something I think is really interesting. You talked about the idea of not being in the moment because you're in your head thinking about what you should say, could say, how come I'm not saying anything, et cetera, et cetera. So can you speak into, you know, kind of what you've seen with your clients in terms of that kind of being a stumbling block for people?
Yeah, I think my yoga teacher says it best. I'm not doing yoga anymore because we can't in COVID. Yeah. But one time he said, when you're stuck in your head, you're dead. And usually that's what happens. You know, like for example, even when we're in yoga class or when meditating, we get stuck. Again, nothing is actually happening. We know we're just in yoga, maybe we're sweating, but we get so involved in our thoughts, we're not here in the present moment anymore. And especially when people have anxiety or whenever anyone gets nervous, we get in our heads, nothing is actually happening in real life. We're not in the present moment. So we might be thinking of all the bad things that might go wrong. We might be saying, what if I mess up? You know, these are the things clients will say, what if I mess up? What if I don't give enough information? Therefore, will someone poke holes? Or maybe they're really good prepared. And then when people ask them questions, they freak out because, oh, I don't know how to answer that. You know, so it's all these made up situations. Nothing really happened in real life. It's just, What if? Not saying it's a bad thing to imagine the negative outcome. So sometimes we, dwell too much into that. That's when we're in trouble. Actually, what about you? When you work with clients, you know, when they don't feel as confident anymore, like what do they usually say, or how do you help them out?
Well, in my experience, it comes down to just what you said. It's a questioning a lot of times of what people already know. And so they're imagining a worst case scenario that could happen, but it's probably not going to happen, right? So a lot of times I'll deal with people that have an expertise, yet they're worried that someone is going to ask me something that I can't answer. And I always say, you got to remember that in your sweet spot, like that thing that you know all the things about, you know more than probably 99.99% of folks, right? So if they were to ask you that one thing, it's okay. It's fine. You are still positioned as like a credible expert, right? I think we focus on that little sliver of what could happen, and that's not even... it's not even a headline. It's only a headline if you make it so, right?
Yeah. And people are usually asking you because you are the expert. And we know, I think the funny thing is when we know we're not the expert, let's say someone's asking you about something about like cats and you know you're not an expert in that field. You're like, I don't know because that's not my field. You know, I think we get wound up when we really don't, you know, people should expect we don't know everything.
No. Right, right. And I think it's a combination of minimizing our own expertise, so not understanding the depth of knowledge that we have that a lot of other people might not. And just focusing on it to the point where you are debilitated. Like you said, you're in your head and you're not thinking about all the things that you do have to offer, or you're not even thinking in the facts. Like if we were to write down the facts of how many times you have helped people with whatever your area of expertise is, you could probably, you know, fill a notebook, right? And so I think it's just more profitable to be thinking about that versus, you know, this one little thing over here that may or may not happen.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's easier said than done, though. I think that most people, when they want to get better at speaking, or maybe it's that nervousness, most people don't know what to focus on or to work at. We might hear a lot of advice, which are all good, but when the moment actually happens, they don't know what to practice. You know, even myself included, I'm like, okay, you know, like we keep on hearing things, but again, in the moment, what are you really working on? You're just stuck in your head again, and then it loops around over and over.
Isn't that the truth? Well, I am interested to hear about persuasive communication from you. I'm excited to dig into that a little bit with you. So tell me a little bit about, from your perspective, what is persuasive communication and how have you seen having that skill set be helpful to people?
Let's talk about the difference between persuasion versus influence. I think when people look at these two words, they're like, okay, what's the difference? And most people can't actually explain them. So I'm going to give two examples. Persuasion versus influence. What's the difference? If you are playing the piano at that moment, okay, at the moment when you're playing that good song, that is persuasion. The 10 years you took to learn how to play the piano, that is influence, okay? So I'm going to give another example off of that. If a friend, or if someone off the street, okay, they said, Kelly, do you want my iPhone 7? I just got the brand new iPhone. I don't need this iPhone anymore. And you might be wondering, who is this person off the street? You know, what do you want from me, okay? Why is he trying to give me this iPhone? And they say, yeah, just take it. You can have it for free, right? You're going to be skeptical. But what if your family member said, hey, Kelly, I got the newest iPhone. Like, I really have no reason to use this iPhone anymore, this old iPhone. Do you want it? And you might like, yeah, since you have a new iPhone, right? If that stranger was really good in the moment of persuading you, that is persuasion. Influence is the relationship, is the trust, is the time that you took to learn who that person is. So when it comes to persuasion versus influence, if you want to be a persuasive individual, at the end of the day, people will say, who is this character? You know, over time, you know, if we're watching The Wizard of Oz, right? And we notice, okay, the real person isn't what they are saying they are. You know, they seem fake. Only at that moment, they seem the best. But in the real life, over time, they're not like that. So if you really want to persuade people, the best thing that you can do as an individual is to live up to your values, be what you say you are, and keep on doing the things. But if we want to work on persuading people in the moment, that's actually a lot more easier than over time. Let's say you just met me, Kelly. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, I'm a communications expert, but you just met me that day. Yeah. Okay. Now I can sound very confident. I can just list off a bunch of facts and I can sound really persuasive. But if you really find out I have nothing to do with communication stuff, you're going to be like, and you would lose all influence, all persuasiveness. And you're like, that person is a liar. So over time, if you are really strong at your personal game, you know, if you are strong in what you do, how you live, you know, all that stuff, you will actually become very persuasive at the end of the day. But if you want to be persuasive in the moment, here are the exact things you need to do. There is something, I read this, I was on an airplane one day, and I was just reading a book. And I'm like, man, this is a secret to becoming charismatic and persuasive. Of course, people have done studies over this. I can't, like, when I was reading this, I'm like, man, this is amazing. Why didn't I find out about this earlier? Just people just have to do this. There's a study that tracked like managers over 6 months. They said, take these language tactics, use these language tactics versus group B, don't use them. Group A, who was just using them, were rated 65% more influential and more charismatic. Same thing with a person giving a speech the next day. Use these language patterns versus don't use these language patterns. But they were just rated highly more persuasive and influential through, you know, from the audience. They call this charismatic leadership tactics. People can just Google them. They're nothing new to us. So they got like 11. Know how to use metaphors and similes. Storytelling, contrast, provide rational analysis. I'm not going to list all of them. Know how to express empathy. Knowing how to convey confidence to your team. Like, so all of these different things. So contrast could be, this is good, this is bad. This is not what I mean, and this is what I mean. So if, example, if you're listening to this interview right now, and if you do not want to grow professionally, and if you do not want to become a better speaker, then this podcast, this interview is not for you. However, if you want to be one of the best speakers out there, then keep on listening. Okay. Contrast. Okay. What is not what it is. So if you want to become a really persuasive speaker, I'm going to say add two or three of these language tactics, and whatever you say, you're going to just hit home every single time.
Hey, this is Kelly popping in with a special invitation. If you are a professional woman or an emerging business owner looking to level up your speaking skills, I want to invite you to apply for my Fierce and Fearless Speaking Academy. Maybe you're already receiving invitations to speak and you're wondering, what are you going to talk about and how are you going to deliver it in a powerful way? Or maybe you're a business owner and you're looking to leverage speaking to boost your business, but you need to know the nuts and bolts of how to deliver and create a memorable message. If that's you, I want you to head over to kellydparker.com/coaching and apply for Fierce and Fearless Speaking Academy today.
When I first started in sales, I did not want to sell. But when you talk to really good salespeople, they will start saying, and this is, you know, this is actually what I believe in. If you really want people to take action and make a change in their life, that means your audience need to buy from you. Because if all they do is go for everything for free, like Amazon, you know, like put like everything free on Amazon on your wish list, they will probably never do it. Even if you have like courses that you bought all for free, you probably have never taken action. But the ones that you actually bought, they change your life because you put value into that. So, you know, it goes hand in hand with what your idea is at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You know, to your point about, you know, the importance of getting people to believe in your ideas, you know, one of my observations is sometimes the most persuasive person is not necessarily the most knowledgeable or the one with the best idea. They're just the one who's able to bring it to life the best, or get people to, you know, get behind it or whatever. And so that's why I just feel so passionate about people that do have the knowledge and do have the know-how and do have good hearts, that we figure out how to bring our ideas to life so people can believe in the substance of what we have, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard at the end of the day. You know, we all know that we need to get better at speaking. You know, back then when this was kept a secret, you know, like Aristotle and all these folks, it was only hidden for the highest elites. But nowadays it's open game for anyone. So if people really want to learn persuasion, which was kept a secret back then, it's wide open for anyone to actually, you know, get into the tactical insights, ninja secrets today.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm interested to hear from you. So I look at speaking as three parts. You have a speaker, then what you're saying, and then the audience. And sometimes, like we were saying before, when we get in our heads, we are focused on ourselves first. Like, out of all of those three, I'm thinking about me. Okay. Mm-hmm. But really the power is in being able to focus on the audience with a really good message. So when you think about being persuasive, how important is it to focus, you know, on the audience?
You know, that's a great question, Kelly. I would say you have to think about it this way. Maybe you have a friend or significant other. You know, the last time you want to help them make a decision, like if you really wanted to help them make a decision, you know that you can give them all the facts and information and they'll still say no. Like even the best thing, you know, they'll still say no. So you need to think of it that way. How can you help your audience make the best decision for them? I know my wife, if I want to help her make a decision, right? Like again, she knows, like she's done all the research already. I can give her everything else. Like she doesn't need input from me. She just wants someone to listen to her to make the decision. She wants to know that this is the best decision for her. It's, again, it's not anything that I'm probably saying. She probably already made a decision in her head. It's just helping them, you know, maybe sometimes talk it out. So again, it's all about your audience at the end of the day. When some of you are listening to this, have you ever thought or asked the question of, I wonder how many ums Kelly will say today? I wonder how many ums Kit will say today? That will never occur in your mind. So if your audience will never ask these questions, why are you asking these questions? You know, unless someone is saying so many filler words, okay, unless, you know, it's so distracting. But most of the time, 90% of the people, 95% filler words are not distracting. Again, if our audience will never ask it, why are we asking it? We're just filling our heads with more nonsense, all right? the questions depends on, well, should I ask about questions about myself or should I ask questions about my audience at the end of the day? If you fill your mind with more, you know, questions about your audience, then that means your audience will gain more value at the end of the day, right? Because if you ask, and again, there's nothing wrong with trying to get rid of filler words, but who is that helping? Yourself or your audience? It's usually ourselves. Not saying that's bad. We need to improve ourselves, but ask more questions about the audience. So that's a great point, Kelly.
Man, that is so good. Like, it just makes me think about, to your point, so many things we worry about as speakers, any type of speaker, giving a presentation at work or anytime. A lot of time, the things that we are worried about, we are the only person worried about it, or it wasn't as big of a deal for anyone else as it was to us, you know?
So, can I ask you, what are some of the most common questions that the people that you help ask with?
Yeah. So I get a lot, of course, I'm sure we have the same ones, but I get a lot about, how do I get over my anxiety? I'm nervous. How do I deal with that? I get a lot about, how do I organize my ideas or stop myself from rambling or over talking myself?
Right. I was listening to some motivational video from Kobe Bryant, and they asked him, how do you not get in your head when people say you suck, or they have all these posters or whatever? And he was like, just get over yourself. It's not about you. You know, at the end of the day, he said, if he's missing a shot playing basketball, then he's thinking of, okay, is my hand angle actually wrong, in the wrong place? He focuses on the techniques of it so he can make his art better. It's the same thing of seeking, you know, we just have to get over ourselves. Easier said than done.
Yeah. So what are some commonly asked questions you get?
I would say the same thing. It mostly depends on the scenario. You know, maybe they just got promoted. It's like, oh, I need to up my game speaking. How can I take my poor presentation skills to make it great? The speaking anxiety, that is a big one. And also, like what we're talking about, persuasion, how do we engage and get buy-in from people? Or more importantly, how do we get other people to understand the importance of our work? If we are in different departments, okay, I'm in UX. The UX person has to talk to the sales department or the marketing department. All they have to do is convey the importance of their work to the other department. You know, that's the major issue in organizations. The marketing team does not know how to talk to the sales team. The sales team don't know how to talk to the marketing team. They're just trying to pass information around. And because so many people have different ideas, they're like, okay, what do we do from all of this?
Yeah. Well, let's sit in that for a minute, because I know we have corporate heroes that listen to the podcast. And if you are working in corporate, you have probably come across that, right? Dealing with people who don't necessarily understand your day to day, but you need to be able to have a productive back and forth with them. So what's one tip we can take with us when we're at work trying to be persuasive?
This is the easiest thing. Ask them what they want. Okay, so I can't believe it. Most of the time, let's say last time, the marketing team has to do a conference, okay, and talk to the salespeople about the product, all the new products. They never ask the salespeople what they want. The marketing team is trying to talk to the sales team, and they bring out an outsider like me to try to help them up the presentation game to the. Ask your people what they want. That's it. You can take a quick email, take a quick survey. What is it that you want? What can help you at the end of the day get your work done faster, help your work? You know, that's one of the best ways because everyone is so busy and no one is asking. Yeah. So just ask your teammates.
That's the truth. That is good. Something else I found to be really effective is to pay attention to people and what do they respond well to and what do they not respond well to, and try to incorporate that with how you interact. So that is a good one. That is a good one. Now tell me this, Kit. So imagine I pulled out all the stops. I'm being super persuasive. And then I get some pushback. I get someone who has a dissenting opinion, or they, you know, kind of say something opposing. How do you handle that in that moment?
Oh, this is actually, can I talk about mindset really quickly?
Yeah. Please do.
So, and I'll come back to this. they say the lion is a king of the jungle. Okay. Now here's the thing. The lion is not the biggest animal. It's not the fastest. It's not the strongest. It's not the fastest. It's not the most beautiful even. But why do other animals, even when they look at the lion, they're like, it's the king of the jungle. So if the lion of an elephant looked at the lion, the elephant would probably think, oh, that's a lion. I'm going to run. The lion's going to eat me. But here's the thing. When the lion looks at the elephant, the lion is thinking, I can eat that elephant, right? So what kind of a mindset do you have as a speaker? So going back to you, let's say someone's giving you feedback or a pushback. I'm going to say that is one of the best things that can happen to you. What's the worst thing? No one is giving you feedback. Everyone is just clapping because they just have to clap. You get dead silence. That's actually the worst thing that you can do as a speaker and presenter because they probably don't care. The best thing that they can do is speak up and give you pushback, because if they do, that means you get a chance to listen to where they're coming from and you have more opportunities to persuade them. Because if you really take the time to care about them, they will say, oh yeah, they're really trying to get to know where I'm coming from. And therefore, you'll get more opportunities to persuade them to your side, right? Most of the people, they fall in the I don't care category. And then when you're done with your presentation or your meeting, they still don't care. That's the worst thing that can happen, right? They just don't care. And they just go through the day.
That is like gold, okay? I should be charging for this episode.
Hey, what do you say? What do you say, Kelly, when people get pushback? What can you do?
Here's my strategy. So when that happens to me, what I look at it as you always stay in your power seat. So whenever you get defensive, it's kind of like you just gave away your power because now you're playing defense. So as a good communicator, I always want to be on offense. I always want to be in control, right? So just take it easy. I'm going to smile. I'm going to nod. I'm going to get curious, like try to clarify what exactly you're saying so that I can take it back and do something with it. Now, that being said, I am probably feeling all sorts of ways like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. But, you know, it's a skill set that I think you can train yourself to do. You just smile. You just take it. You take the notes. You try to, take it all in and do better the next time. So that's my thing. Like, you ain't never going to see me sweat. Sorry. Just not. Even if inwardly I am, you know, so that's kind of what I try to teach.
You know, I think, you know, when talking about playing defense or offense, I think at those moments, we really have to be aware of what we're doing with our bodies. Because, you know, in the spur of the moment, our bodies might not be, you know, it might be stiff. We might not be breathing. And that's the first thing we have to take care of. Because if we're heated and we're not taking a breath, or maybe it was a sad, I don't know, maybe we get sad, people are pushing back. Notice what you are doing with your body, because that's one of the first things that you can actually change. You know, if you're feeling small, make your body a little bit bigger. If you're too aggressive and you're too in your face, then fall back a little bit, you know, so we can really see from our body language what you know, we should do.
That is good. And my favorite part about that is that you can shift how you're thinking and you're feeling, how you're thinking and feeling, by shifting your behavior. You know, mm-hmm. So maybe I am feeling defensive, or I am feeling like, oh, Lord, I just want to die. But the more that I'm aware, more than I'm self-aware, take a breath, smiling, I'm looking like everything's fine. It's just a regular day for me. It has an effect on all of it. It does have effect on your thoughts and feelings, too. So it's not easy.
Yeah.
But I just wholeheartedly believe it's just a skill that you can learn to, it's a muscle you can learn to flex and bring out of your toolbox whenever you need to, you know, if you work at it. So, wow, this has been fun. But tell us where we can find you, if people want to work with you, what you have going on, how we can follow you online. Give us all the details.
Yeah, if you want to keep on working on your speaking skills, you know, I always say you are the five people that you are surrounding yourself with. So, of course, surround yourself with Kelly. But if you want to have me around in your circle, you can always go to bostonspeaks.com, or you can just put in my name, Kit Peng, on LinkedIn, and let's connect.
Awesome. Well, we must do this again soon, here or elsewhere, but let's keep this going. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me, Kelly.
Thanks for listening to the Confident Speaker Podcast. If you found this content valuable, make sure you subscribe and leave a review to help others join the Confident Speaker family. Thanks again and see you next time.